That's all right. That's hot. That's the truth about you. I'm going to do a meditation, a centering. Feel free to go anywhere you need to go in your mind. Just take a deep breath, relax. Remind yourself you don't have to believe anything you hear. You don't have to welcome anything you hear. You don't have to accept anything you hear. Some of the stuff you hear you may find hard to believe. So you might go, that's hard to believe. Some of the stuff I say you may resist and you may not agree with. That's okay. Some of the stuff you hear may thrill you. Some of the stuff you hear may confuse you. Some of the stuff you hear may upset you. That's okay. Try to remind yourself that your role is not to judge. That I don't need anybody to come here to judge me. I do a pretty good job on my own. If you use the ideas in the Course in Miracles, you will see that they are true. If you apply them to your life, you will see that they're true. And so if you use it, you will see that it's true. But I'm not trying to convert anyone. There is nothing to fear. Nothing to fear, merely state the fact that there's nothing to fear. It's not a fact to those who believe in their fears, to those who believe in their illusions. But false ideas are not facts. In reality, in truth, there is nothing to fear. It's very easy to recognize that there's nothing to fear, but it's very hard to recognize that there's nothing to fear if you want to be right more than you want to be happy. So silently within yourself, just repeat to yourself, there is nothing to fear. You can use this idea with your eyes open. You can use this idea in any time, in any situation. It's good that you take a minute or so, whenever possible, to close your eyes and repeat slowly, there is nothing to fear. It's particularly important to use there is nothing to fear should anything disturb your peace of mind. Don't hesitate to say there is nothing to fear. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you're trusting in your own strength separate from God's. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you're trusting in your own strength. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you are trusting in yourself alone. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you are trusting in yourself alone. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you're trusting in yourself alone. The awareness that there's nothing to fear shows that somewhere in your mind, though not necessarily in a place you recognize as yet, you have remembered your Creator. Where there is no fear, that means somewhere inside you, you have remembered that you are not alone. That the presence of God is with you. And now you're letting that power replace your weakness, and so you are not afraid. The instant you're willing to join in with the power of that which created you, there is indeed nothing to fear. So the thought is, there is nothing to fear. And I'm going to repeat that a few times because repetition helps to affect our consciousness. There is nothing to fear. 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 There is nothing, 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 nothing to fear. There is nothing, nothing to fear. There is nothing. There is nothing to fear. 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 There is nothing. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. There is 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 nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. There is 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 nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. There is nothing. Enthusiasm is permitted. Well, you know what you want right at the very beginning?
Yes, you do.
Bless your heart.
No fear.
No fear. She's a live, happy person. Don't let her scare you to death. There's nothing more scary to us than a person that acts normal. You see how everybody's looking at her. Well, we're so funny. And we're so afraid sometimes, you know? We're so afraid. It's funny. But the Quran says that, you know, the fear of God is the fear of happiness. And that there's nothing more frightening to us than happiness. You want to really scare somebody? You know, do a lot of loving, joyful, happy things for them. Consistently. And you see the scariest person you've ever seen. For the average person. I know there are exceptions to everything I say. There's someone who will disagree. Okay? That's understood. I wouldn't be up here if I expected everybody to agree with me. Okay? Okay?
Okay.
All right. And then is it okay if I don't care?
Yeah.
Oh, we got a deal. If I don't care if you agree, then that's the way we have freedom. That's where we have freedom of communication. If I need you to agree, then it's hard to be free. So I'm going to talk about, I'm on chapter 5 in the text. And the chapter that I'm on, and I've decided to just concentrate on this chapter for a while in all of my classes. For those of you who don't know me, I call myself Earl Purdy for convenience, so you know how to identify me, because I'm really just you, just one of us here. I'm just in another form, but it's just you. And we all playing like we don't know that. Because when I see some of the stuff you go through, I'm glad I'm not one with you. I like some of the benefits of separation. You know what I'm saying? But I don't enjoy it. I can get in my car and drive off. You're right. You know, if our body is nothing but our getaway car. We're just one. But we can get away with our bodies. And that's a good thing. I think we should be able to separate until we're able to love each other the way we should. I don't want to be connected with anything at a conscious level permanently that's not joyful. So I think it's very loving that whatever created us made sure we were separate until we saw each other correctly and treated each other right. I'm glad. I'm happy for separation. It's a great thing. But it's not real, so eventually I have to come to the realization of our oneness. And I need to be taught how to do that. I know how to do separation. I'm a separation expert. But oneness is a different ball game. Okay? So the Course in Miracles says, well, you can't get to the next level without a guide. And I wanted to warn everybody that I will talk about God in church. Most people who come to the Course in Miracles are recovering religious people. They went through a lot where they were, you know, so everybody's usually, so many people have this thing about God and Christian terminology and all this stuff based on some of the things we learned as children. So many times people that come to the class, they feel resistant to hearing like the words God or the Holy Spirit or Christ or Jesus or anything like that. And that means that there's an issue with that that you need to correct, because you're giving your peace away because of words. And it'd be easier to change your mind than avoid hearing words.
Didn't you make God into an anagram?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, G stands for something, O stands for something, D stands for something.
No, I did that with ego. Ego.
Oh.
Ego is easing God out.
Oh.
Easing good out, yeah. God is His love to me. So this section is about, this paragraph is about how you call on your inner teacher, your inner guide, the part of you that's still in touch with God, and how do you allow that part of you to work and function in your life to bring you the joy that you deserve to have. Fully realizing that at some point you have to resign as your own teacher because of an honest recognition of the results of what you tried to teach yourself. And that is a permanent joy. And the Course is talking about permanent joy, not temporary come and go joy. It's talking about a joy within you that cannot be shaken by anything that's happening in the external world. And if you have that kind of peace, then you can hear your inner voice guiding you, and you will get specific instructions for everything in your life that you're trying to figure out how to deal with. The ego is nothing but the conversation you have in your head. If the ego is nothing but what you're telling yourself about things based on what you learned and experienced in the past, that's your ego. The ego is just the learned self that we identify with, that thinks it's separate and in a body and wearing clothes. The ego is the part that thinks it's separate in a body wearing clothes. So who's sitting in the chair? The ego. The ego, the part that thinks it's separate. And so now that part is getting ready to judge whether or not what it's hearing is correct based on what it learned in the past. So it's getting ready to judge me now, and everything it hears is based on what it's learned in the past. So it's not really hearing anything that's being said. It's just assigning meaning to what's being said. So you're going to assign meaning to what I'm saying. Then you're going to respond according to the meaning you've given it. And then you're probably going to say, I said it. Check it out. So I'm going to start with paragraph 2 on page 73. It says, let us start our process of reawakening with just a few simple concepts. So we're ready to reawaken to who we are. Let's start with a few simple concepts. I got some three extra books that you can use during the hour if someone would like to use one to follow along. It's right up here. Thoughts increase by being given away. The more we believe in them, the stronger they become. Everything is an idea, so how then can losing and giving be associated? This is an invitation to your higher self. Okay? Okay, the popular metaphysical belief is what you think and believe and feel becomes your reality. Is this true? From a metaphysical new thought perspective, we think our mind is creating, right?
Right.
And so we believe it's our thoughts that's creating our reality, right?
Right.
All right. So then what we need some new thoughts. I need some new ideas. I need some strong ideas. Now, thoughts increase by being given away. So, the more I share these thoughts, the stronger these thoughts become. I need new thoughts. My thoughts create my reality. I need new thoughts because my thoughts create my reality. So I need new thoughts. Your financial situation is a reflection of your thought. The relationship that you're in right now is a reflection of your thought. The way you see your body is a reflection of your thought. The way you feel about your life is a reflection of your thought. Your thought, your ideas, that's what you're looking at. That's your reality. That's what you're living in. And the trick is to realize that if you kind of look at that as being your mind, you know, you maybe are aware of the little tip of the iceberg at the very top. But then under the bottom, there's a whole lot that we're not aware of. Okay, the part that we're not aware of, that is the part that you perceive as others. All the stuff you look at as being, why did that happen to me? It's coming from the level of thought that you're not aware of. Why am I attracted to that same kind of person over and over again? You have thoughts about that you're not aware of that draws that kind of person to you. So it's great to get into this idea that our thought creates our reality and everybody's excited about the secret and you can just magnetize what you want. But let me tell you something. That didn't just start when you read the book. The law didn't kick in just because that's what you've been experiencing all your life has been the result of the way you think, feel. So therefore you're not trapped in any situation that you're in, because any situation on the outer can be changed through a change of perception on the inner. So there's nothing you're going through right now that you're trapped in. You're not trapped. All right. That's so good to know. Okay. And the Course says the thought that will transform your life the fastest is the thought, I am innocent. Which is the same as saying, I am holy. I am innocent. Because we came into the experience and we were taught that we were either guilty or we were sinful in some way. You didn't grow up in a traditional religious thing, it just might have been guilt. But if you grew up like I did, Southern Baptist, it wasn't just guilt, it was sin. Got a little extra dish through in there. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So therefore, I'm told that there's some kind of a flaw in me at a very young age. My beliefs create my reality, so even at a very young age, I start to program for things that can only happen to an unworthy person. So that core belief that you're guilty and sinful is the idea that's behind any kind of pain you have about anything. That's if you want to go right to the core. All the physical things that you deal with, all the different physical things that you deal with, those are just the various manifestations of that one idea that you're guilty and that you're separate and that you're not connected to love. So solving all these things individually on the external without dealing with the core idea of your being guilty on the internal only allows those problems to just change form. And then it goes something like, as soon as I got this handle, something else popped up. And as soon as I got that handle, something else popped up. That's just a reflection of the same idea, because you have not gotten to the root cause. And the root cause are what the thoughts that I have inside my consciousness. As a matter of fact, I don't know how to break this to you, but you are a thought. Something thought you up. You didn't think yourself up. Something created you. And some people feel like it's not speaking to you. I never hear my creator talk to me. Well, your creator speaks a different language from you. You speak the language of separation and I'm not enough and things sort of go right and I need to try to get a little few special relationships of love and have a little joy every now and then and maybe I'll get some good retirement and I'll die. See, that's not God's language. Okay. So the issue is, no matter what brought you to the point that you are today, in this point of power, which is called the present moment, we can start sharing ideas that become stronger as we share them with each other. And we have a lot of people in the room who could be sharing these thoughts with each other and seeing these truths for each other. So the thought will become stronger by giving it away. And the more who believe in it, the stronger it becomes. Everything is an idea. You can't point to anything in this room that's not an idea. Right?
Right.
There's nothing in this room that's not a reflection of an idea. You can't point to one thing that the idea didn't come first. So the idea level, which is the course level, is how we make change. So the Course in Miracles is a lesson in causation. It's not about focusing on the effect, which is what most people come to classes to focus on. The result of what they've already thought. This is about, let's use the point of power, which is the present, to focus on the thoughts that we like to see manifest and we know deserve to manifest about us right now. Now, if I told you you were lovable and loving and all you deserved was love, do you know that whether or not you believe that has nothing to do with the truth of it? Yeah, I say that again. I can tell you that you are abundant, you are unlimited, you are loved, and it doesn't matter whether or not you believe me if it's the truth. You don't have to do anything if it's the truth. But even if you don't believe it, and you said, I am loving, I am lovable, I only deserve to be happy, you are actually siding with the truth, even though you don't believe it. And all the universe needs is a symbolic gesture to show that you're willing to receive it. So the first stage to changing your consciousness is really about saying things you don't believe, which we're very good at. Don't act like this is a difficult task that I'm putting before you. Me? Say something I don't really mean? I don't really believe? I'm Mr. Integrity. I never say anything I don't believe. We do it all the time. We do it all the friggin' time. We say stuff that we don't really believe. So I'm asking you, let's do the same thing here, but let's do it consciously. You know, yes, you're lovable. Yes, you're loving. Yes, there is nothing to fear. Yes, everything's going to turn out all right. Yes, you're more powerful than you can imagine. Yes, you have help. Yes, you have guidance. Yes, you didn't create yourself. That's the truth. So, since you're sharing the truth, it can come to you faster even if you don't believe it. Because it's the truth. That's confusing. It's the truth. If you jump off this house, whether or not you believe in gravity, you won't fall up. You know, it won't be like, I don't believe in gravity, so if I jump off the house, I'm going to fall up. No, the law doesn't care whether or not you believe it. So if it's true, your belief doesn't matter. Your belief only matters when you're dealing with perception and things that are not true. So, in other words, if I have to make myself believe that I'm a lovable person, then I'm having to deal with a belief that's not true, which is the belief that I'm not a lovable person. But if it is the truth, then my going into agreement with it will help it manifest faster, because it only takes two minds to join equally on one idea for it to become the will of God, according to the Course. So joining on the ideas that you'd like to see manifest is the fastest way to get an idea manifested. Focusing on how you got screwed up in the first place, just waste time. You only recognize that there's a problem just so that you can get that immediate correction is needed. You're not supposed to live in the problem. You go to the medicine cabinet to recognize that the aspirin is in there that you want to take, but you don't go to the medicine cabinet and look at the aspirin and expect the headache to go away. That's the same as all the time focusing on what we think is wrong with us, as if we're looking at a history book that's dedicated to all the mistakes we've ever made. So I'm going to say to you, you are loving, you are lovable, you deserve happiness. and you are loved and you're not alone. That thought increases by being given away. Everything is an idea. So how can I lose something that I'm giving? Because giving is how I receive. Like, people will give their anger really quick, or their disapproval really quick, or their judgment really quick, and they don't realize why they stay upset and mad all the time. Whatever you give away is what you increase in you. So I'm glad you're having a good time telling me off, but really you're just increasing your own confidence. So now when people are arguing at me or mad at me, I'm glad about what they're doing to themselves. Don't sound very holy, does it? That's why you can trust me. Talking to a real person. I'm just as strange as Joy. So this is the invitation to the Holy Spirit, and the Course calls the Holy Spirit our sane mind, our loving right mind, the part of us is still in touch with the Creator. So if you want to make an invitation to your sane mind, I love that. He says, I've already said that I can reach up and bring the Holy Spirit down to you. The Course in Miracles has the most radical premise. It's basically saying that it's a channel book, and it's strongly implying that it's Jesus correcting a lot of misperceptions about what he taught. I mean, you don't have to believe that. It doesn't matter. But it makes sense. Because something is going awry. Haven't you noticed? In Memphis, there's a church and a liquor store on every corner. That's where I'm from, Memphis, Tennessee. I came from the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. I came from the buckle. And I guess some of the stuff people learn in church is so deep that they have to go straight to the liquor store when they leave. I don't know. I heard some frightening stuff. I heard God's Son was crucified before I was born and it had something to do with me. And then somehow or another, I was guilty about that. And then we wonder why we're so screwed up, you know? But I also heard a lot of loving stuff. But I noticed that the loving people would always see the loving stuff and do the loving stuff, and the judgmental people would always see the fire and brimstone rake everybody over the cold stuff. So what you focus on tells you more about you than it does about the other person. So I'd like to say to you that so what's basically happening is that Jesus is trying to correct the perception that we have of what he taught, and also to show that the message of the crucifixion was basically that the truth cannot be destroyed, because it looked like he was destroyed and he wasn't. The resurrection should be focused on, not the crucifixion. The fact that what Jesus was lived on is what we should be focusing on, which is the basic message of you live on beyond your physical body too. And what you are experiencing now is the cumulative total of your focus all through eternity. It's what you call your life today. You did not just begin when you were born. Birth is a continuing, not a beginning. On my birthday, I like people to say Happy Continuation Day. Because life is a continuing. You know, you were created by something that never ends, so what you really are never ends. Now, that's an idea, isn't it? And it's an idea that the more we would share it, the stronger it would become, wouldn't it? But we know that idea is about this being compared to the idea that we are bodies, which is about this being. Right? So this little bit of thought of your eternal nature compared to the beliefs that you've learned, it seems like what I'm saying may be crazy, but I just said at the very beginning that to move to the next level, you have to tell yourself things that are true that you may not believe, because you have to introduce the ideas into your mind that you would like to see manifested. And so it's got to be introduced. So you got to tell yourself things that are beyond what you see about yourself right now to take yourself to the next level. And the Course is even better than that. It's saying, you know what? I can show you how to let all this stuff go, and then let the part of you that loves you start writing on that blank slate instead of you. That's what Course students are looking for. They recognize that they need to go to something greater than their own separate ego mind. They're not interested in how can I learn some more stuff so I can try to manipulate everything in my reality the way that I like it, whether anybody else wanted that way or not. We call it creative visualization, setting a goal. That's the code word for it. Yeah. I'm getting ready to try to manipulate my outer experience in a way that it serves me more than anyone else. And everybody that doesn't help me do that, I'm going to say they're not supporting me. And I'm going to then have a grievance against them that I'll need to forgive them for. For most people, they're mad because they can't control everybody around them. And most, what most people call betrayal is just somebody not living up to the role you set for them in your about your idea of what your life was meant to be for you. Yeah. And they betrayed me. What? They didn't let you control their every action yet. That's why some people love what I say, some people hate what I say, and some people just fall asleep. And that's cool, because when you go to sleep, your ego is still, and I can just sneak right on in there. You can I don't have no opposition. So when I do my best workshops, everybody in the room are like this. And I hired a little, you know, some drool helpers, and they come in and get the little buckets of drool hanging out of people's mouths so I can give it to them as a little gift. And their ego is out of the way so the truth can just go straight in, you know, just like that. Because it's not like whether you understand it or not, it has anything to do with it working. The court says your understanding is not a powerful contribution to the truth. And your understanding doesn't make the truth what it is. So I just want to take that pressure off of you. Okay. So the Holy Spirit is in your right mind as he was in my right mind. The Bible says, may the mind be with you that was also in Christ Jesus, and uses this as a blessing. It's a blessing of miracle-mindedness. What it says is, why don't you think the way I thought? Why don't you join with me in Christ thinking, which is love thinking? So why don't we all join in love thinking? Anybody want to join me in some love thinking? Some love thinking? That's right. We are the love thinkers. All right, he says, now the Holy Spirit is the only part of the Holy Trinity that has a symbolic function. So when we say Holy Spirit, let me give you some additional terms. He says we also refer to the healer, the comforter, and the guide. So what you're saying to me today is that you want to get in touch with your healer, your comforter, and your guide. Your healer, your comforter, and your guide. Is this right?
Right.
Yours.
Right.
Yours.
Mine.
Okay. He says the Holy Spirit is also described as something separate apart from the Father and the Son. So it looks like there's a Holy Spirit, and there's me, and there's God. And the Course says the only reason why it's presented to us as if it's separate is because we believe in separation. So actually, it's easier to understand the concepts if we talked as if it was separate. Even though I know it's not. You know, that's another big objective from the New Age front, you know. Because I've been there, you know, well, you know, God is within me. Of course God is within me, but you don't see nothing else as. So why don't we use the idea of separation to make it easier for you to get to that point? I said, okay, well, how do you do that? Well, look at it as if you got a comforter, you got a healer, and you got a guide trying to advise you and does know the way. Not only knows the way, it's guaranteed to succeed in getting you back to the peace you deserve. There's no possibility that divorce for God won't succeed. I'm sorry, your problem just ain't that special. It's like, you know, just imagine God was separate for a minute, just for a minute, and God is like creating the whole universe. God just creating God's little butt off. Okay, just got everything running. All the universal, all universes, all dimensions, everything. Just got it running. Nothing's beyond God's power until God got to your problem. God just sobbing. Then he just, oh my God! Oh, I'm God!
special we think we are. You know, that I can come up with something that the infinite creative power of the universe could have no solution to. And that's my MasterCard deal. The heck with living forever. How can I get some behind on my car payment? That's what I want to know. If I'm going to live forever, I got forever to deal with that. But they about to pick up my car next week. We need to come down from some of that eternal thinking and get on down to this temporary place where I live. So that's where the problem located, you know. It's the truth. That's the way we are, right? You know, so I'm going to talk to you as if it's that way, too. So he says, if I go with you, if I go, I will send you another comforter, and the comforter will abide with you. So we have a comforter. The comforter abides with us. But of course, there's this symbolic function that the Holy Spirit has that's difficult for us to understand. Like, why is it difficult to understand the idea of having a healer, a comforter, and a guide? Why is it different to understand the idea of the Holy Spirit? Well, you know why? Because it's open to different interpretations. What does that mean? That means that the reason why it's hard to understand is because you have the ability to confuse yourself. So you have the ability to listen to what's being told to you and give it a meaning that's difficult to understand. That's deep. In other words, one person will have one interpretation of what the Holy Spirit means, another person will have another interpretation of what the Holy Spirit means, another person will have another interpretation, and so it's hard to understand because we all given it the meanings that we want to give it, and then we compare it to what we're learning, and if it doesn't jive with what we've learned, we go, I don't understand. Which means you just didn't say something that I already agreed with. You introduced a new idea to me. You said something different from the way I get it. That might be a suspicious characteristic of something that's new. It might be different from what you already believe. So in the beginning, to go to the next level, you have to be willing to listen to a lot of stuff that you don't necessarily believe. That's good. So the Course says, as a man in one of God's creations, my right thinking, which came from the right mind or universal inspiration, taught me first and foremost that inspiration is for all. So I could drop off every part of that sentence and just go to the part that says, all of us deserve inspiration. Inspiration is for all of us. And to be inspired means to be in spirit. So when you're inspired, you're in spirit. When you're dispirited, you're fatigued. So if you walk around fatigued about one thing or another all the time, you are a dispirited individual. You're not inspired. I could not have inspiration myself without knowing it's for everybody else. So there's nothing I could possibly want for myself that I could keep unless I also say each and every one of you also deserve to have it. So Earl knows whatever it is he wants to have, he has to also see everyone else as having access to that same thing and having that same thing. So I want inspiration, I want guidance, I want devotion. So I claim that you all have access to inspiration. You all have access to a healer, a comforter, and a guide. Because anything that's true applies to everybody equally. Anything that's false only has a specific use. I love that. I love that. You can't use a record player for everything. So it's an illusion. But the idea that thought is creative, everybody can dip into that one anytime. What's true is true for all of us. What's not true is something that's only true for some of us. All we need is one witness and we can change our minds. All we need is one, just one. The Course says, you just saw one thing correctly, it will correct all your perception of everything. I mean, that's a spirit to me. I don't take even one thing correct. I thought at least it was down to one thing. Like, no, buddy, you don't see nothing correctly. Nothing. How do you know? Because you're afraid. You think you're separate, and you think you're on your own, and you're trying to be positive so you can survive. you're scared to death and you're scared of your thoughts, so you think if you cover them up with all these other thoughts that are really nice, then you won't have to look at the ones you're afraid of. You're trying to get one little, two little relationships that you're strangled to death trying to hold on to. That's how I know you don't know anything. I said, Holy Spirit, what's the sign of the key quality of an unhappy person? And the Spirit said, ignorance. They just don't know. They're just unaware. And because they're unaware, they get hurt. See, it sort of goes like this. I want everybody in this room to follow me. Well, that's exactly what we're doing when we try to guide ourselves through life. And then when you have your hands over your eyes, you can still see. You're just interfering with the laws of seeing. But you can still see. But you are the one that has you have your own eyes closed. And then, I don't know about you, but when my eyes are closed, I can imagine things in the darkness. What about you? Like right now, I see me in a plane headed to Freeport in the Bahamas. Yeah. And I got a phone on. Because the cursor didn't show up. It picked me up at the airport in my imaginary scenario in my mind. So now I've got to forgive him for not getting to the airport up on time. The truth is, I'm in a room with you. So when you're afraid, what you're looking at is your own imaginary scenario in your mind. And on the other side of you not being able to see because your eyes are closed, there is a part of you that does not have his eyes closed that can tell the part that has his eyes closed, go 1 foot over to that direction and can walk forward. You know, I call it my personal God GPS. Well, my GPS stands for God. You know what I'm saying? So the course is, that's what the course is saying. It's saying, it's about time you realize you don't see where you're going. And it's about time you let the part of you that is all-knowing start to guide you. And there are some rules for how to do this and how to get out of the way. That's why I'm doing that, my advanced mind training, because I can't get all this done in 50, 55 minutes. So those people that want to go deeper and we can have more time to get into this and work it out to the smallest detail, that's what I do my once-a-month in-depth training for. And by the way, the one that I'm doing now is... it's a limited enrollment, and it's getting pretty close to being full. So if you want to do it, go ahead and make your financial investment, because that guarantees you a place in the class. And it's $50. You know, it's about the amount it costs for you to park for a Rockies game.
Yes.
And I bet you'd be more people paying $40 to get a parking space than would think about what I'm talking about. It's all about what you value. Nothing is ever too much if it's what you value. You know, nobody thinks about paying money for something they really want. It only becomes an issue when you're not sure if you really want it. Obstacles always come up to block you from something you're not sure you want to do. You can count on it. So the more you're unsure of your goal, the more things that seem to come up in your life that block you from being happy. Obstacles come from uncertainty of purpose, not because the world is doing something to you. Obstacles come from an uncertain purpose. Obstacles come from an uncertain purpose, not from the thing that you want being so hard to achieve. It becomes proportionally hard to achieve in proportion to how much you don't really want it 100% in your heart and soul. So the things that are hardest to achieve are the things that you're most afraid of having. Tell me what you don't have, and I'll tell you what you're afraid of. I know I want money. I know I want it. I know I want to be a millionaire. I know it. 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 I just read Millionaire's Mind last week. I know it. You're afraid of it. Or it would be so hard to achieve. Because you are an infinitely created being. You are the child of God. You have unlimited ability to create. You were created by something that created everything there is. There is nothing you could possibly want. There is no need you could possibly have that could not be fulfilled if you were willing to resign as your own teacher. And I'm not saying to let me lead you. I don't want to. So I'm not definitely not a cult leader. I don't want to be nobody's leader. And I don't want to be anybody's follower. I want some people walking side by side with me. Then I'm not alone. So I could care less about being a leader. Because see, it's the way that leader-follower thing works. People love you to be the leader when the following in them comes up. Because they don't know what they want to do and they need somebody else to be responsible. Lead me! But as soon as they think they know, and then they want to be the leader, then it's, why are you trying to tell me what to do? So the leader-follower role is a bum role. Don't go for that one. You're going to get attacked every time. I have no desire. Matter of fact, it slows you down. See, I already believe this, right? And I want to believe this. Well, then why in the world would I want to surround myself with people who don't, that I'm trying to convince to do what I want them to do? That would slow me down. It's much quicker to go with equals. Equals are the best ones to travel with because nobody's blaming anybody because everybody's taking responsibility and they realize they're not a victim of each other because they're equals. You want the equals to go with you, not the unequals. The unequals always attack and they get scared and they sometimes with you and they sometimes not with you and they don't know how to love and they're trying to possess everything because they think it's the unequals are frightened minds. So we are all equal. We are all the same. We all have equal power. We all have the answer within us. You don't need me. The truth will come to you in any form you're open to it coming to you in. I'm for the people who are open to it coming through me for a while. This will probably be a while. Most relationships are not meant to last a lifetime in the body. Haven't you noticed? Has it ever dawned on anybody since that's what happens with everybody that maybe it's natural? Could be. Could be that it's natural to be with people for a little while and then appear to separate. More so than thinking it's natural to be with all people all the time forever, since that's nothing anybody succeeds with with any kind of consistency. Most of us have had more relationships we're not with the people with than relationships that we still are with. So the court says, you know what? That is the way it's supposed to be. It doesn't mean you are a failure at relationships. You just learned as much as you could from that person at the time, and now you've appeared to separate. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. You're not bad at relationships. You just learn fast. Now, that keeps you from aiming those slow learners. How long y'all been together? 80 years. You're pretty slow learner, right? You need some relationship classes. Your relationship lasts too long. Wouldn't that be great? Those would be the smaller workshops. You know? So I'm telling you that you've been sold a bill of goods. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not broke. You don't need fixing. You just need to remember the truth. You're not broke. There's nothing wrong with you. Your personality is fine for you. And you'll never meet the people who can love it until you be it and run off the ones who can't.
Yep.
Run them off! Yep. Run them off! You know, I'm going to be so myself, you'll make a choice. I'm going to be so myself, you'll make a choice. I do it every class, don't I? Uh-huh. You see, I just be myself, you know. And a lot of times everybody leave, but... Oh, but it's just making room for others. That's exactly right. And the ones who come, the new ones, I promise you, if you're practicing the truth, the new ones will be better. You will enjoy them more than the people who left. You're only trying to get back with an old person that you used to be with because you're miserable now.
Yeah.
You only would try to get back. goes something like this. I'm not really happy right now. I'm not really having a good time. So I immediately start thinking about the good old days. And I think about the person from the past. And then I kind of want to get back with them because my present reality seems worse than the one that I was in when I had them. So you can only want something from the past if you're not happy in the present. Because if you're happy in the present, you're so full in that moment, experiencing it, enjoying it, and being it, that you wouldn't have time to think about your old girlfriend or your old boyfriend. Yeah. That's why they never called you back. They're happier.
Yeah.
Is that Earl? I'm not home! I'm not home! Don't put him on the TV equally miserable, too. Like, she didn't get really a lot of joy either. So she goes, oh, I'm so glad he called. We get a chance to start our lesson again, right from where we left off. Isn't that nice? You know, and we said, that's my soulmate. You have to give yourself some kind of excuse to do stupid stuff. I'm going back to the person I had the most miserable relationship I've ever had, but it's in divine order. This is what God wants me to do. I know it's hard, but things shouldn't be too easy because then you won't be your character. So you just do all that rationalizing to justify doing something that you know is just a repetition of the past because you're not happy now. See, being happy now will automatically, retroactively clear up your past. You don't have to worry. A happy person is not worrying about their past. I guarantee you. They don't have time. They don't have time. You got too much time on your hands if you got a lot of time to analyze yourself. You can't be miserable and worry because if you were in immediate danger, you wouldn't have time to worry. So you must be in a pretty safe place to be able to worry as much as you do.
Oh, wow.
You know, if a bomb was dropping around you right now, you wouldn't be wondering about much that you're worried about right now. I guarantee you. That problem seems so petty that you were worried about before you came in here. If in this moment you were an immediate threat, you know, if some madman came in here, your attention would be on the madman. It would not be on what you were going through with your mate before you walked in the door. You know, being in the present lets go of the past, and then you use the present to now share the ideas and the thoughts that you want to become strong and that you want to see manifested. So the best thing you could do would be to find a spiritual path that works for you if it's not the core of something else, that is extending a thought system and an idea and a thought that you agree with that inspires you. And then as much as you can, repeat it to yourself over and over again, join with other people who are trying to do the same thing so that thought can get exercised, just like you've exercised the frightening negative thoughts. Now you're exercising the thoughts of your path that you want to use, and these thoughts will change your perception and will start to manifest. But if people spend as much time exercising their mind as they do their body, they'd have a blissful life. You know, people don't think twice about working out for a couple of hours, but you say that I am loving and I'm lovable one time, sometimes in a spiritual class, and you watch most people not do it. But yet they're expecting a life of joy. It's supposed to just show up. It has shown up, but you can't see it. So, if she started talking to me, and I got my eyes closed, and I don't believe she exists, I think I'm going crazy. Or it's a ghost. I heard a voice. Did you hear a voice? Because, see, I got my eyes closed, so I don't even think she exists. I got my eyes closed, I don't even think the Holy Spirit exists. So how can I become aware of this higher self that I can't see? Well, you become aware of the higher self that you can't see by its effects in your life. That's how you see. That's how you know. From the results. And I'm seeing the results. I'm experiencing the results. And I know I'm not different from anybody in here, but I know I put in a lot of dedication and sincerity. You know, I didn't say an affirmation once every 3 weeks and expect everything to change. You know what I mean? And so you're not trapped in anything that you're in right now. We are going to support each other and have an inspiration. We're going to remind each other that we're innocent and not guilty. We're going to learn how to let go of all the blocks to the awareness of that innocence, because that's the only thing that's causing us pain, just the blocks that we've learned or the past learning. The undoing process is faster than the doing process. So it won't take you nearly as long to get out of the states of fear and conflict as it took you to get in it.
Yeah, good. That's good.
Yeah.
I promise you, it won't take nearly as long. You know, start doing the workbook lessons one a day, whether you accept it or believe it or not. Start reading the book. Keep reading forward, whether you understand what you read or not. All these symbolic gestures will open up your life in ways that you don't even recognize, because all we need to show is a little bit of willingness. And our so-called spiritual path is nothing but our little bit of willingness. It has nothing to do with what's actually waking us up. That's just my symbolic gesture. You know, it's like when you call somebody back after you've been with them on the date. That's a symbolic gesture to let them know that either you loved it or you didn't, depending on what you said. But it was a symbolic gesture. And so what we're giving is symbolic gestures. Whatever you do in the outer world is nothing but a symbolic gesture showing your willingness to have that which you're asking for. So coming here was a symbolic gesture. Picking up the book is a symbolic gesture. Repeating an affirmation that I might say is a symbolic gesture. Because you are getting that you need to strengthen the ideas that you'd like to see manifested. And there's another part of you that knows the answer that you don't know, and you want to avail yourself to that part of you, and that's what my class is all about. All right?
Yeah.
Would you acknowledge yourself for hearing this much with me? Holy shit! Woo! 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 All right. We're going to do the donation, and then I got a quick little thing I want to finish up on. I'll tell you, this is a path of gifting. This is a path of gifting. Has anyone here not received a gift ever? Okay, so it looked like something good just came to you? Okay, that's the way it can work all the time. But the idea that it can't is like, huh! And the idea that it can come to you easy is like, okay, so we know which idea we need to strengthen in order to make stronger. I am entitled to miracles. A couple of minutes and then we can go back out to the lab. It's waiting for you. I can hear them. I'm waiting for y'all. So thoughts increase by being given away. The more who believe in them, the stronger they become. Everything is an idea, an idea, an idea. Everything is an idea, an idea, an idea. Everything is an idea. It's an idea. Your financial situation is an idea. Your job situation is an idea. The spiritual perception is an idea. So the more you believe in it, the stronger it becomes. So how can you think that you're going to lose by giving an idea that just increases by you giving it? Give an idea that you like to see increase by giving it. The idea that we're going to use is, I am entitled to miracles. 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 Hey, now, let me ask you, those who are willing to get on your edge, get right up to your edge, get right up to your edge. That's the point that you would feel a little self-conscious or a little nervous about sharing this. But I'd like for you to pretend like you have an unbelievable level of enthusiasm. This is an idea that you'd like to see strengthened in your life. It goes like this. I am entitled to miracles. What we say? I am entitled to miracles. What you say? I am entitled to miracles. Say it again. I am entitled to miracles. Now, here's the last part we're going to do. Now, we're going to open our eyes. Do something scary. Get on the edge. Say it again with enthusiasm. enthusiasm. Only those who want to. But this time, open your eyes and look around while you sing. Join mine. You ready? That's what I'm talking about. I'm available for one-on-one coaching healing sessions. We got some flyers up front to describe that for those who are interested. So better sign up quick for this workshop. It's going on, play shop workshop. You are entitled to miracles.
Wow.
See you next time. Hugs are available. All the hunters out there.